Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
All right, guys, it's Wednesday. It's Lulz bringing in a special guest. It is none other than Ricky D. He joined us, I believe it was last summer for the first time, had a blast talking with him, so we had to run it back. Course, lots going on in the DFS sports betting crypto spaces. We're going to chop it up with Ricky here on Lulz. He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in 1 for yes, 2 for no. Let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Ricky, I feel like last time you were on the show, you were in a backyard somewhere.
Over there. Yeah.
This almost looked like a Zoom background for a second, but this is like all natural, right?
That's right, man. I keep it real. I don't fuck around with the virtual
shit. Yeah, that's nice good. Ambiance with the fire, Brian. When are we going to get some more of your lake house in the background?
I'm not balling out this hard. Is that a marble finish around the gas?
That's a nice old-fashioned real fire.
Yeah, let me see what's on the mug, too. Yeah. The mug looked like it had a nice photo on it. Okay.
Who is that?
Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett. That's the mug Davis drinks out of every morning when he tells us to buy the Bitcoin dip, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to go on a little rant here, actually, about these crypto market bros. Might as well start it off with that.
All right.
Let's do it. Okay, so, you know, like, we've all went through this crazy pandemic. Everyone was making, you know, a fortune in the market and crypto and NFTs and all this bullshit, right? And then it crashed and everyone's like, you know, jumping off bridges. And it's like, okay, let's get some perspective here, right? Most people who are in our kind of circle did pretty well. At least, like, they probably made money, right? They're probably better off than they were financially before the pandemic, right? Yeah, you didn't get your 1,000x return on like some bullshit, you know, avocado picture, but like you're still probably like got a 200% return, right? Which is still a lot better off than like most people. And look what we are right now. The pandemic's over. It's probably the best summer we've had since 2019, right? In terms of like what you can do freedom wise, you've got more money probably than you had before that. Yeah, there's probably a lot of doom and gloom. I hate to give like bad news to the doom and gloomers, but really, you just like this is what I was preaching last year. You go outside, you know, you go to a nice restaurant, grab a beer, cute waitress. Let's live some life here, boys. You know, let's forget about all the crypto doom and gloom. Let's forget about the markets crashing. Just, you know, realize you've never had an edge doing it. Just buy the dip. You know, look up flat 5 years down the road, and then just go live some life, and you'll be good.
So if I can summarize your takeaway here, it's that this is just natural cyclical things with markets. A watch pot doesn't boil. Nothing's really changed. Go enjoy and live your life.
Yeah, I think anyone thinking they can micromanage their way through all this stuff without any sort of sophisticated model, it's kind of like DFS. Like, you're never going to, everyone's great in a bull market, but you're not going to, you just got to let it go, bro, and just live life and, just let the markets do their work.
It is interesting you say that, because I have noticed specifically with the NFT corner of the markets, as opposed to say like the crypto, is there's this level of emotional attachment and identity attachment to it in a way that makes a bear market even sting worse. Like, a lot of people have fully wrapped up their identities in it, in communities, in their profile picture. And now they're like, what the fuck do I do? At least with, like, when you're trading shit coins, it's kind of like emotionally detached. You're not like, oh, this coin. Yeah.
Yeah, you always knew they were kind of like just bullshit. I don't know. It's like people have been conditioned to stay inside, and like, you got to fucking make money and you got to look for the next thing. You got to hedge your bets. What's the hedge here? Like, I just see people who have made literally millions of dollars in our kind of crypto DFS space, like, worried about the next, few years. It's just like, okay, yeah, like the identity thing. I think we made a big mistake attaching identities to, these, meaningless items.
Well, that's kind of how we tricked ourselves, or people collectively tricked themselves into making it seem like, no, this is more than just speculation and gambling,
It's a revolution.
Yeah. What do you think, Brian? Are you going to be able to trade your way out of this bear market?
I watched the Club Top Shot earlier today from you guys, your show last night. And this energy's a lot different than it was on Club Top Shot. I was watching Club Top Shot. I'm like, kind of like a eulogy here. These poor guys.
That's what I mean. Anywhere
the top shot part was a eulogy. It felt like a eulogy.
I was thinking about this the other day, like Davis Maddock. You can think about like a guy like Davis Maddock, right? Obviously, he's done well. And I just remember this tweet back in, like, he sold his Tyler Herro, Top Shot for like 28K, supposedly the worst day of his life. I have no idea what that's worth now, but it's like, come on, bro, get some perspective. You made some money. It's not all bad. Like, let's move on.
That tweet. I mean, Davis, nobody timed the Top Shot market better than Davis. I mean, that had to have been the top of all tops, selling that for 30K.
Beautiful.
I mean, Brian and I couldn't get 30K for our Jokic Cosmic right now. One of the premium moments on the site, 2-time MVP. And we couldn't get that. Davis sold a fucking Tyler Herro for 30K.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You got to get some perspective when you make a move like that.
Let's see, Eric, what's the tank top? I have my XFL tank top on here today. So then what are you doing with your time then, Ricky? Are you just touching grass because you're not doing NBA DFS? You're not watching the markets. What the hell are you up to?
Well, I play a lot of MLB DFS. That's sort of always been my go-to. It's really low. It's not a huge time commitment. You kind of just show up an hour before or whatever. So I've been enjoying that, but for the most part, getting outside. My number one tout, my gold star pick, I was thinking about this, mountain bikes.
Yeah.
Buy a mountain bike, man. Anyone out there looking for something to do this summer and they've, fucking mountain bikes changed my life, man. Buy an e-bike. Like, they got these electronic assistance ones that you can like fly up the mountain, fly down. I'm doing that every day. Mostly. Sweet.
You're in Colorado, right?
I'm in actually BC.
BC. I always mix that up.
Yeah. Yeah, similar type lifestyle though.
Those bikes are kind of flying off the shelves. They have a supply issue on those bikes too. So,
yeah, get out there early.
Try to get one. If you're trying to get one of those, you should get it now.
Yeah. Well, now I'm worried that Ricky's just pump and dumping these bikes. He's actually been hoarding them and they came on the show.
Yeah, this is my
making back his losses. Ricky's been having pretty good baseball season this year too. So it's pretty easy for this guy to come in here after he's banking hundies all day long. Like, guys, what's the problem? And you bank every other day and go ride your bike.
Yeah. I was actually laughing because I have been doing pretty good. And Rick, you had a great tweet the other day. It was like, even in DFS, everything can go perfect and you still will lose. And I think that was a good example of you last night when you were like super overweight on the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
And you were smashing the site like early, and you had like all Mookie Red Sox had 16 runs in the fifth inning, and it looked like Brick was going to like ship the entire world. And then like you didn't account for like 0% on Jock Peterson hitting 3 home runs, and then Sean Zahn passing you for like the biggest ship I've ever seen this year.
I know. I woke up to that too. I didn't even look. And I wake up, I'm like, oh, the Mets Giants game was 13-12.
Yeah, it can't be good. You didn't know. Yeah. Sean Zahn, man. Shout out to Sean Zahn. He's had a huge year this year. And he's had a couple bad years, and this is a nice comeback to see.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, yeah.
Right. Like, was this tweet in earnest? I think if I had seen this before, I would assume this was like a copy pasta or something you didn't write. The all caps just does not seem like a Brian tweet.
It was half real, half joke. I can't remember what was going on that day. What day is it? I don't remember what was going on.
May 13th.
I knew people would like it.
Yeah.
Would you say that you're farming? You were doing a little engagement farming with this one?
No, but I have been throwing out some farming tweets just to test the waters.
I love your farming angles, guys. Your farming goals.
Yeah, so Sean's on, Pete. You're not in the MLB streets.
No, but go ahead.
He's destroying it. And he did this once before.
Yeah.
I want to say 2017. Maybe 2016. Maybe Ricky will remember.
2018, I think.
What's it?
It was the Cubs. It was like maybe 2017.
Every day you go out, wake up in the morning, he's shipped with a 0.05% stack team, and you just hope you can get second. Like every other, I mean, he must have shipped, I don't know how many times. It was also like 5 times in like 14 days or something once. It was insane.
He's doing it again this year.
He's doing it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year was a Hombro.
Yeah, exactly.
Baseball is always one. You told me this, DM or in person. Like, there's always one guy every year who just ships everything.
Yeah.
So Marcus wants to know, Ricky, are you putting in an hour a day on MLB or not your full 80 hours of work?
Yeah, Chess is okay. I love that guy. Somewhere in between, I suppose. It's MLB. I don't know. I just like there isn't a lot of grunt work to do. Like you're not going to be like going in there like, oh, what did this guy do last game? I don't know. Like it just doesn't seem to be a lot of like necessity. I'll sweat the games. I don't know if that counts. But.
Yeah. Okay. The lineups come out pretty much all before lock.
Yeah,
and there's usually there's a scratch every other day, something like that. Like it's nothing you can't handle. Where in basketball it's huge, it's depending on the player. In baseball, it sucks if Mike Trout gets scratched or something like that. But like most baseball players, it's not the end of the world that they get scratched. You can figure something out.
Yeah, I like it. It's a nice casual summer sport.
What are you just playing the big prize pools? Or are you jamming everywhere?
I jam everywhere. You're running a little hot, you just start to run it up a little bit. I kind of told myself at the beginning of the season I was going to take it easy and and touch some grass all season. But then I was doing well and I was like, oh, well, fuck it, might as well get this another season. Yeah.
Is MLB the only sport you're playing right now? Or are you dabbling in anything else?
I'm like the world's worst PGA golf player. I literally, I'm not even joking. I probably played like 30 slates like in the past 2 or 3 years. I've never profited. Never. Like, I have no idea what it like. Makes no sense. But
is this your testimonial like for Rufus's projections?
Well, I can't attest to that because I've been using those projections. They've been getting killed. So I don't know. poor touting on his part, I would say.
There you go. Where are you at? I think you were in the chat one of our previous episodes. We were talking about the tout stuff. Like where do you fall on the Rufus hypocritical Jeff Ma overcritical spectrum? Where are you on that?
Yeah, I mean it's tough because Rufus has been so adamantly anti-tout it's like been his brand forever. And it's a tough sell going from that to like basically touting whatever you want to call it. So him in particular, I understand the criticisms because he's been so, self-righteous about it, basically. I mean, personally, I just think it doesn't really matter that much. Like I used to be really anti-tout. The touts that I'm against now are basically the ones that you guys kind of complain about. The biggest Daves, the like kind of the old school Tommy G types where they're just shouting at you like fucking play this guy. You'll never lose. You know, like that type of shit. Like Run Pure kind of does that a little bit. But like, I'm not going to like, they're nowhere. They do offer some value. So it's like, I'm okay with like guys trying to help people out and like offer like a nice community or whatever you want to say. But yeah, that total scam ripoff shit. That's basically where I'm settling is
And I love that stuff. Like for some reason, like that stuff, I always like, oh, what's going on in that world? Like my buddy just gave me an update on, like the Q, you know, QAnon. Like we, a friend from our, from high school that he was like more friends with than I was. I'm like, what's going on with that guy? And he just gave me all the new details and was sending, showing me these. And I'm like, this is fascinating. I just think the whole thing is fascinating. And I kind of think that like insane touting is like another world. It's like, wow, what people really pay for this. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it is a fascinating thing. Yeah. They've convinced people the same way. It's good.
What was it? You mentioned the Run Pure. I saw some back and forth between Levitan and Big T, something about like a weather edge. I wasn't plugged in enough to the golf to actually get like the references. Do either of you guys know what that beef was there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So basically there was this, you know, in golf, there's this debatable edge. You guys kind of briefly touched upon it last week about it was the PGA Championship and it was like this AM, PM, like the early slate was going to be better for wind because it was projected that there was going to be way more wind in the afternoon and tomorrow. So basically Big T like went fucking locked in like all the, you know, the early guys thinking that it's like this unstoppable edge that you just can't fade. And Levitan was trying to come at it from a more nuanced thing saying, you know, the ownership also aligned with the weather. So was there really anything to be gained on the field there? And it kind of got a little touchy between them too, because like Levitan then claimed that, you know, like the winner of like the 4K milli actually was a full weather stack, and Big T's like hashtag edge, like that's right, Run Pure, like we called it right, and it was like for a while there, Run Pure was looking like they were gonna take the entire slate, like multiple millies, like that, because they all just like a cult leader follow Big T and his like weather take. It's amazing to see. So yeah, Levitan was like trying to be like a little bit more of like an optimizer bro, like, you know, and like, I don't know, he seemed a little bit like, I don't know, like he seemed a little bit more angry than like he usually is. He was a little bit more like vicious in his reply tweet. I don't know.
And there is also, of course, the undercurrent of, you know, ETR launching this golf product. They're now a big competitor for anyone selling golf subs. Like, that's the lens I read that conversation through of like, all right, sure, we got the Rams bucking horns here with the subs.
Yeah, because I think any other context, I wouldn't have expected Levitan to go so kind of viciously. Like, it was sort of like almost childish the way he went. Anyways, but he was trying to sell it as way more sophisticated than just play weather and ship, which is basically Run Pure. You know, so I think it's an interesting discussion for sure.
You gotta give him credit, Big T, though, because he does then go play 150 of his take, and he's kind of like Blender in this way where he doesn't think anyone's gonna listen anyways. Like, so you could tell him your whole strategy, and just it doesn't matter, you know. So like,
well, people do follow him. They'll like you Run Pure are just all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. Not enough. I should have said, I guess not enough follow where he can just say his whole strategy and then actually do it. And then I gave him a little shit. I was just kidding around. I can't remember what it was, but it was something, with MMA. Oh yeah. He had 85% Chase Hooper, right? There we had like this Chase Hooper thread going on. And I just bought some of his merch, by the way. I'm going to wear it next show.
You bought Chase Hooper merch? What does even Chase Hooper merch look like?
It's a shirt and a hat, man. It's going to be great. And anyways, and he goes, yeah, at 85% Chase Hooper. I'm like, yeah, and you dupe with, 80% of the other lineups too, probably. And he goes, and he says something like, you worry about the dupes, I worry about winners.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, but honestly, like he will dupe a bunch, but like whatever he did, he says his strategy and he does it. You know, this show, obviously we think you don't want to dupe that much in general. You should have some strategy behind it. You can't just go, you know, try to go one dupes and not think about it. But like, he does what he says.
Yeah. I just think, go ahead, Pete.
Oh, no, I was just going to say on that, too. It's almost like it boils down to a marketing thing, right? Like the clearer your messaging is, the easier it is to get it off. So if you just say, this is the edge, weather, do this, versus saying like, oh, well, here's the nuance. It's the same way of being like, just jam this guy and being like, well, if you have enough low-owned guys, then this guy's suitable. It's like that doesn't get across to the masses on Twitter.
That's exactly what I was just about to say. And it makes for like very effective touting. And then like, it will hit often enough where you could just say, see, you know, it's like, it's that easy, right? Whereas like sometimes you hear Rufus actually like on podcast trying to talk through his process. He's like all in his own head. He's trying to catch himself. He's like, well, he doesn't want to go too strong in any direction because he knows the Sims show that the edges are so small and you can't just go all in like every, like that. If you look at his bet history, it's like he's betting 10,000 different bets, right? He's not just going all in on one particular guy every week like Big T would. But look at the success of Run Pur. You can't deny it that they're very influential. So what do you say?
You know, it's kind of interesting DFS-wise, just this whole tout business that we've been talking about so much recently. I really do think we need another, you know, definition for these clear Vegas Dave touts. But, like, with Vegas Dave, is he even betting those bets? Like, probably not. Or maybe if he is, he's not betting his role.
The term is scammer. And in Vegas DFS, Dave is a scammer.
In DFS, you could check, right? Like you could see what they're doing. We all know what they're doing. That's kind of an interesting difference between other sports touts and, you know, Big T is a tout, obviously, but like you could actually check and see if they're doing what they're saying. And we've talked about this, Ricky. I think like even Osimo uses Osimo's projections. Like you could tell if you study his stuff. He's definitely using his own stuff. Like it's harder than, you know, Big T will just say fade PM and then like, okay, you could check that really easily. And he does it. Or I don't care about dupes. Then he'll like, yeah, he had a 2000 lineup dupe. Like that was, I wouldn't do that, but he did it, you know? Yeah. So like you in DFS, you could check these things. And, you know, again, like I think there is a difference between projection specifically and like all the other things of touting, like, yeah, Rufus does work for a tout site now. I mean, they are tout sites, but I don't really think there's anything wrong with that. I'm just making this slightly little more nuanced take of if you give all the projections on something and that's it, I don't consider that touting, and it's very far away from our obvious examples of things that we all hate.
Right.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, didn't you end up getting kind of like some Rufus-esque blowback when you won your million and you shouted out ETR and everyone's like, wait, Ricky's the anti-tout guy. What's going on here?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, what's a couple like messages or something? You know, Osimo messaged me. He's like, hey, man, like, I know you're on my site all the time. It's like, okay, well, yeah, I use a whole collective. I'm buddies with ETR because that was all it was, but... I mean, in general, I had this point on my little notes here. I think it's a good time to bring up, like, in general, DFS and touts, like, okay, like, DFS is, like, is losing the marketing battle to sports betting right now, right? Like, how many genuinely new DFS customers are actually entering the space when they're putting so much focus on gambling and you know, single game parlays? The touts, like, you know, like Big T and Run Pure and ETR, like, they're bringing in, or they're retaining customers. I don't know necessarily they're bringing in customers, but you basically do need these touts to sort of hype up and create some excitement and create communities, you know? And it's like, well, there is sort of a necessity for touts in that regard.
Yeah, it's kind of like an affiliate thing, like where you have these little marketers for you that where everyone benefits.
Well, that's a good point too, because I think a lot of these tout sites are really good at serving their existing community, you know, with their live content, their Discords, like they serve that community, but how much is actually being grown? And I know like ETR is doing lots of efforts now on TikTok and Instagram, like where is this next wave of players? And it's like, you almost have to pull them in from like a season long perspective. Oh, maybe start with a little best ball. Maybe then we get you to DFS, get you, you know, completely red pilled, but it is. And you look at content and like the truth is like fantasy content on a whole is like not that innovative. It's not, you can go look at other disciplines or sectors and the creativity and the level of production is just on another level. And so I do think it's safe to worry, like we need to raise our content game to actually be able to expand these ecosystems because we're not reaching normies right now.
Yeah. Or just get that engagement farming going, bro.
I'm trying. I'm bad at it.
I mean, you're like the one of the shining beacon in all this, right, Pete? Like, you're the guy who's out there like at least attempting to create, you know, unique creative content, bringing in new eyeballs from different, you know, channels, trying to make it fun, trying to like be entertaining, you know, like you said, it is a very basic problem with fantasy content that it is so dry and it's been done. And like, and when you start getting into the weeds of how you actually beat DFS, it's even drier and more impossible to even describe. So that challenge is severe.
And because there's so much, it's everyone uses the same template, right? For fantasy touting, both their shows and stuff. And that's why even like everyone gets so excited about the Three Donkeys podcast coming back, because like just listening to Bales and those guys like make sex jokes is such a reprieve from just templated play the best play stuff. And, you know, I do think, and, you know, to give Run Pure credit and Big T credit, like they've built out personalities and people want to come along for the ride with personalities. I know when we were doing Tilt Space on ETR show last year, like people really enjoyed that show because you get to see the personality aspect. And I do think that is part of like growing stuff. It's like, we have to make this more exciting. Brian and I talk about it all the time with what can DraftKings and these sites do to create superstar personalities in the way that happened in poker.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's tough. It's like with poker's kind of having a little bit of a revival. I Brian and I both played professional poker. We were talking about it when I met up with him in Chicago. And it's like, yeah, like you just, it's so much more natural for poker to be a personality thing. And it's with all the vlogging and the it's just so much media now that's available to do poker content. You're going to get that that natural connection with personalities. I was saying to Brian, like, we just need like the DFS communities, I don't know. I think I'm personally been sort of bearish on it for a long time. I just think we need to really like make strong efforts, like create some, like we need to know more about, like we need some more rivalries. We need some more shit talking. We need some more like people going at each other. Like that like never happens in the DFS community. It always happens in the poker community. So we need more of that shit.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah. It happens a little bit. It happens a little bit, and then usually it dies off.
Yeah.
It needs to be some better. It's tough with GPPs. Because remember when I have to bring him up, but my Ben the Better little thing was, like, it's so hard to do, like, a GPP versus somebody else, you know? Like, how are we going to – it's not as good as, like, the cash game head-to-head in poker, you know? Maybe there's something we can figure out, but like with the tout shaming stuff and this kind of content is, I mentioned this briefly last week. It's like, if you go with the hardcore, like Seville view, it's like, there would just be no content at all. There would be nothing. You essentially can't say fucking shit with their rules, or you're an immoral person. You know, maybe I don't understand their rules in full, but like in the sports betting sector anyways, from what I can tell, you just basically can't say shit, like even free picks and stuff like that. It's like, you're not going to have any fun content. So like, I mean, in the modern age, content's super important too, but like the sports betting market in England has been around for what, 100 years, 200 years? Like, what were they doing? You know, there was no internet then. There was no, so
hear
like,
ye, I, hear ye.
They had the touts out on the street.
Yeah. Speaker's corner.
Big T McGilligutty, like Big T's great, 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 great grandpa. It's out there.
Father T.
Yeah. I mean, I do think, you know, partly, like you said, it's hard to pull it off and structure it. And this is, I mean, I don't know if we have any prayer of anything coming from DraftKings like this, but it's like, it'd be really nice if they could facilitate some.
They have to be part of it.
They have to. Like, think about this. Like, what if you were able to scoop someone for, say, the NFL, but it was for the entire season, and they managed it? And so it was like every week you were doing your $5,000 head-to-head, whatever. Or maybe it was like they facilitate that you both hop in the same high-stakes tournament every week, and then they were able to, like, show leaderboards, your average scores. Like, help us foster these beefs and give us the structure and the railroads to, like, make it happen.
Yeah, it needs to be sort of community based, so you can have your little team and to root for, and you have like the sharps versus the, you know, the jocks, and there's something, you know, within that range where there's like a whole, like, something people can get their teeth sunk into.
Yeah, OA wants Brian versus Big T, jocks versus nerds.
There it is. Yeah.
Wait.
It writes itself.
That means I'm on the nerds. What the fuck? Yeah.
You want to be on the nerd side.
What about crossover? You could do like, you play someone heads up in poker, right? But then they have to play in DFS, something like that. Yeah. It's tough when you get those challenges because the other guy is so easy to cheat in DFS. They could just ask someone.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's so much they could do, man. I don't get it.
He's saying bad news if you think you're a jock.
It's true. Yeah.
It is tough. It just, I mean, have we seen a single piece of innovation from DraftKings? I mean, they're just in set it and forget it mode, right? With the contests.
Yeah, they gave it a try with that. What was that? The goat or whatever, or something. It seemed like they really didn't commit to that idea very much. Like they filmed some content like over 2 days and like kind of, I don't know, they didn't really commit to like a full.
You know, another thing I think we have to kind of accept too is it's not 2002 anymore. There's not this like hegemony or whatever you want to call it of media where we all have cable, we all watch ESPN, we watch SportsCenter 10 times a day. You know what I mean? Like, that it's just not everyone's attention is going 1,000 different ways now. It was kind of just like a flash in the pan or just like a moment in history that just can't be repeated, right? Like, so I don't think we're ever going to get to that level where everyone and their mother was playing poker, you know? Yeah. Everyone and their mother, they're not going to be playing DFS. Well, I just don't.
Yeah. Do you guys – I'm always fascinated that there is even an existing – kind of thriving still DFS market. Cause man, like I sometimes get burnt out and I'm like, I can win at DFS, right? Like there's a lot of people who you got to go in there every day, spend an hour or two building your line or your roster, your ownership, your fucking, you know, you're looking at game selection, you're monitoring news after. And it's like, and if you're not even winning, how are these people even playing still? Just bet the goddamn lines and go for a walk. You know, it's like, go bet the over under or something. Like how, I'm always shocked that there's even still people pretty solidly playing every day. And I don't know where, if it could possibly go up from here.
I can't get the 100K to first in sports betting sides though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could do like an in-game parlay or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I do think it is that there, like you said, there have to be so many people taking a bath, but because they can go hang out in the Discord, they chop it up, they talk strategy, it feels like a puzzle, they have some people to sweat it with, that it's like your social thing. It's just like, this is what I do on a Wednesday night. Like I build lineups and I sweat it with these guys and it's like my hobby. And they you probably write it off as an entertainment expense, even if you're, you know, checking your roto tracker long-term.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And that's something I really discounted for a long time. Cause like, you know, when you're sort of just going at this from a purely like professional angle where you're just looking for edges and it's like kind of a grind and you're not really enjoying any sort of social aspect of it. Like I haven't talked to a human being in 2 years. So it's like when you like look past that, you start to see the value of these communities and tents and these like content things that would need to sustain, you need to sustain the market.
What do you guys think about this idea? Instead of DFS, naked yoga. No, but how about this idea we had, Pete, like 2 years ago? We contacted DraftKings and almost got it going. Do you remember this, where we wanted to do like the content creator wars? So it was like Run Pier has two guys, Awesomeo puts up two guys, Fantasy Labs was a thing back then, right? I think like all the guys still work there, they put up two guys. I don't think ETR was even a company, and then we were gonna, me and you were gonna play on a team.
Yeah,
just for fun, and then have like a bracket challenge, where, and then so it's like, you know, all these content creators are playing against each other just for bragging rights.
And I can't remember, DFS or was there other stuff like
just DFS? It was DFS, but then like, you know, DraftKings hosts it, and then they kind of did a similar idea with like the World Cup of DFS. Do you remember that? And then like,
yeah.
They had like guys from Germany and Switzerland and shit. It's like, who the fuck are these people? Like, don't get them. Get like people who are have a following,
clearly,
and make it a thing. You know, it makes someone a personality, makes someone the best, even if they're not. Who cares? Say they're the best, whatever. You know.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
I don't know. I still think that would be cool.
Yeah, and I think still you'd almost need to have more wrinkles with it, just because I think everyone is so kind of automated and in cruise control with their processes for specific sports. Like, I want to showcase, like, I want to throw a new problem at Brian. I want to throw a new problem at Ricky and see how your problem solving brain throws it. Like, oh, maybe it's okay, we're doing a super flex contest for DraftKings and we have two quarterbacks. Or maybe you're putting a weird multiplier on the tight end position. Like, let's shake things up and see how people solve that stuff. Maybe you don't make it at scale because it wouldn't be as successful. Right. But for like a contest like this, let's actually see who can solve new game types.
Yeah. And you like throw a time limit on it, you know.
Yeah.
Something like that, where you can't just sit, you know, Osimo just goes in the lab and like a week later you've got his perfect model or something.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like Big T and those types of guys who are more field-based would like really like, you know, puff up their chest like, yeah, we got the feel. We know sports. We're going to fucking nail this. We don't need no models to teach us. We don't do that anyways. You know, there's the whole angle there. And there's this, that's basically what DFS is. There's the sports fans versus the sort of nerd, like the numbers fans. And I think there's something there.
Yeah, if they took away my computer in that challenge, I'd be like, I'm
fine. Yeah, it's like, what's this guy's name?
How that would be really funny. I don't know what the parameters would be, but leaning into that, like the film watching bros versus the sim bros, and like you know, doing a contest where Brian has to hand build, they have to use a sim or like whatever. Yeah, that'd be so fun.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and so like, and at this point, there's actually more content creators. There's a decent amount of guys now. We could easily get, I don't know, 50 person contest or something of two, you know, teams of two.
Yeah. The thing is like what I was saying about switching it up is you can't just have it to where it's like, well, Brian's going to make his 150 set and then he's going to toss his one just in this. Like, we got to make it to where it's requiring its own special attention.
Yeah. And there's some sort of live view of him. Like, oh, what the fuck is, you know, like there's some human element to it. Like, that's what poker thrives on. Like, where they got a guy agonizing over a call or trying to bluff, you know, he's got the heart rate monitor. So, you know, there's all this. So there needs to be some FaceTime during the decision-making process.
Well, and even thinking through that, like, I know one piece of content that people really enjoyed last year was when Tilt Space went against the Gilcast in a week 17 head-to-head, and Davis and those guys released the podcast of them making their lineup 30 minutes before lock, and they're arguing and mad at each other and haggling. People, and like, it was a true peel behind the curtain. Like, it was a high-stakes head-to-head, and they were hashing it out. Like, letting people see that, I think, is so much fun.
I like especially the angle of them fighting against each other for their own team. I like that.
Yeah.
And you can do crossover shows, right? You go on their network, they go on ours or whatever, and you talk about what it was. Yeah, and it has to be for, you know, stakes that make them care. Tout Wars.
That's true.
Midway's right. We call it Tout Wars, I think, Pete, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, but yeah. It's got to be like the some sort of World Series of Poker something. Something that is like, this is the DFS thing. It's probably got to be football, I guess, but whatever. Like, this is the DFS thing, this one, right? It can't just be the championship of F1 racing, the championship of PGA, then the championship. No one cares. You know, it's you want to win that money, but like, it's really for a smaller subset of a smaller subset of dudes who even try to get in those things.
Almost like a scavenger hunt thing, like in the Tout Wars. What if it was every site got a player for whatever it was at a similar price point, and whoever's community got that player to the highest ownership won that leg of the Tout Wars.
Oh my God.
Like, who can tout this specific play the most?
The Patrick Laird theory.
Exactly.
Oh, so, wow.
And then you're trying to get all your community to max enter and lock button this guy so you could win this specific leg of the Tout Wars competition.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, because we say shit on this show, and then people give us credit, and they talk about it on other shows. But then eventually everyone just uses it, and we don't get any fucking credit anymore. We can point to, no, but we won the Tout Wars on Patrick Laird, so we have that forever.
Well, it's all – oh, go ahead.
No, nothing. It does have to be meaningful money, like, or something has to be at stake. Because, like you said, if there's not, they'll just throw in some like thoughtless, you know, process. Yeah.
Well, you could have. I mean, all the guys that win their, you know, SFGA and FSWA awards, and there, I saw Brad Evans showing his trophy scoreboard to someone on Twitter the other day. Like, if you could get like a legit trophy that people, you know, actually cared about, that got passed around each year to the winning tout site.
A bracelet.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want a bracelet? Who used to play poker for a living? Everyone wants a bracelet, even if you didn't play tournaments. I want one. I was a cash game guy. Yeah.
And this all comes down to, though, like, again, to pull this off, you would need DraftKings to help facilitate this, to dedicate some budget to it. And it's like, the question is, do they care enough about growing this DFS ecosystem to take on a project like that?
That's the $1 billion question for sure. And it, to me, there's a lot of signs pointing the other way for sure. And it makes sense. Like, there's a lot, the low hanging fruit right now is gambling and parlays and all these things. I mean, there's still probably some room to grow, but it's like, it's a cost benefit analysis. There's a lot of opportunity costs here. Yeah. It's a tough sell potentially. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure I follow that kind of thinking. I get it. I know what everyone's, you know, talking about. They're concentrating sports betting. You know, it makes more money, that sort of thing. But like, if you think about like Amazon, right? Like, if that were true, they would have just like focused only on books, and they would never be where they're at, right? And now they're this enormous company. Like, if you can make money, they could do this. They could do sports betting, DFS, and fucking sell books too, like who and NFTs and whatever, like, you know.
Right. But books don't compete with like golf clubs, right, in terms of like the target market. Whereas DFS and sports betting, same type of guy, gambler, you know, you only got so much money to throw. It's going to have to be one or the other for most people.
I mean, kind of, but it doesn't even matter, right? Because Amazon still like pulled in a whole bunch of other people to buy golf clubs and all these other sorts of things. And their book selling product got better, way better. You can get anything on there. Audible, all these awesome things they've added. Like, I think the size of Amazon, Apple, things like that. I think that kind of disproves that they can't make two awesome products, that they can only focus on one. I mean, if that crossover is, the correlation is like 90% or something, maybe, I don't know. Let me think about that. What I want to know what else is on your list too, before we run out of time.
Well, it's kind of just jumping under a tangent, but I was going to talk about some more DFS theory type stuff. You had brought up this idea of GTO DFS play. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to talk about, you know, you know, some of the challenges we face as DFS players to really come up with an optimal build and how fluid it can be. I don't know if you want to like talk about it.
Yeah, so sure.
It's very interesting to
DFS
me.
Pro. Okay, so there's this idea of GTO DFS play that Brian brought up. That's okay. Basically, if you run a simulation, right? And that's basically everyone's sort of capped out of the bag. Everyone's doing simulations. Like, you know, it's like you can access these pretty. But the thing is, like, your simulations depend on your assumptions. Like, it's not like you. I think there's a big like tendency for people to be like, well, I ran a sim and it told me this. And it's like, well, yeah, but like, what did you assume the range was? What was their ownership? What was their baseline projection? What was all this? Correlations. So there's a lot of, you know, in when you get down to the weeds, all these things, it matters heavily. And yeah, anyway, so you run the simulation, you get this like result, you say, okay, whatever, Patrick Mahomes is top quarterback like 12% of the time. And you start to like go down this rabbit hole of like, well, why not just play Patrick Mahomes 12% of the time? I don't care what his ownership is, right? And you say, I'll play, you know, Justin Herbert like 10% of the time and like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's when you start to get into the idea of ownership and game theory, I don't think that could ever be ignored, because if you have a model that really evaluates ownership and they're just, let's say Patrick Mahomes was 0%, right? You can't just play him 12%. You have to play him like 100%, because every time you put Patrick Mahomes in a roster, you're the only guy with him. So I don't know, like I kind of just invented a, I don't know how well versed your listeners are with this problem, but I'm trying to spell it out a little bit. Maybe you can help me out, Brian.
I mean, I agree, like, with the sentiment that we're guessing here. So, like, it's not like balanced GTO in poker is the set rules. The cards don't change value, right? Like, the stack sizes don't change. The bet didn't change. They're all these static, all this, there's 52 cards for, you know, for all this static information that in DFS, you just have to assume that Rufus's projections are the GTO projections.
Right.
And so like, based right there, you can go bullshit. Like, yeah. Any sort of balance strategy is bullshit. I was thinking that too. So like the reason I started talking GTO is because Nerdy Tenor is talking about it. Right. And he's talking about it in multiple podcasts. And I said, I think that's bullshit. I'm like, I don't think you could do GTO and DFS. And just for the record here, GTO has kind of the definition of it, honestly, is incorrect and changed. GTO nowadays kind of just means the best thing you can do for most people who don't know anything. They weren't poker bros back in the day, but really it means this natural equilibrium balance strategy where whatever selection you make, it doesn't matter what your opponent does. Unless he does the exact same thing, he's going to lose money to you in the long run. And the classic examples, the paper, rock, scissors, you could throw, although it shows that it's just a break-even strategy, is that if you throw paper, rock, or scissors 33% of the time randomly, your opponent can't beat you. But then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, no, I think you can do it. It still has this we're guessing thing baked in, though.
It matters. So, your assumptions matter, though. Like, it's like,
yeah.
So I don't know how you get away with that. Get away from that.
I mean, you just assume the assumptions are right, and then you can apply a GTO strategy. That's where I was saying, like, okay, I was wrong. I think you can apply a balanced strategy. Just assuming everything you have is right. Just assume that's right.
For and sure. I mean, that's as best as you can. Yeah, that's all you can
that's
do. Really.
That's the best you can do.
It's like, I don't know if GTO is the correct term for it. It's probably just like optimal. There's no decision you can make that's independent of what your opponent's doing. Your opponent, whatever they're doing, that highly changes your equity. In a GPP or anything, right? Like if let's say for whatever reason, 100% of people played Patrick Mahomes for some God known reason, the GTO decision becomes very clear, right? Mm-hmm. When he's 13% on and he wins 12% of sims, I don't know, what do you do then, you know? So
So we had actually just this past couple of day in my Discord, we've had a GTO conversation, and I think it's pretty good. If you guys want to go, anyone wants to go and read it, we're still thinking it over, but who wrote it? I want to give him credit. I think it's like Why Who's Serious. Wait, let me check really quick. Why So Serious? Okay. And so he was talking about, I'm going to get his point wrong, but anyways, for to illuminate GTO in like DFS, an easy way to think about it this way is head to head. And then just assume like the last player is like three different styles of player. So like one's like a running back. The other's like a deep range wide receiver. And then there's like someone in between, a slot receiver, or maybe a running back who catches a little bit, something like that. Right. And they have these, like horse race, you know, the classic game theory horse racing example, where you got the horse that's really fast but dies out, and then the other guys are about 50-50. Well, you want the horse race that goes fast and dies out, because every time he goes fast, he's going to beat the 50-50 guys, and they'll just be splitting the rest of the equity. So, like, you could have this in theory anyways, right? If you, like, you could figure this out through a bunch of different ways, you could have this kind of choice of which guy to take. And then you could use kind of a mixed strategy of 60% of the time I take this guy, 30% of the time I take this guy, 30% of the time I take the other guy. And there's nothing your opponent can do about it. And they're just going to make mistakes if they don't match those perfect frequencies on that one player. And so it's also takes a lot of this kind of, well, we're just guessing out of it, because we all know what the cash game lineups are going to be, right? We know like the top five for top 10, right? Mm-hmm. So you can kind of do it. I don't know why we're talking. This is too much good information on a fucking podcast.
Let's go back. Yeah.
So what do you think about that idea?
Well, I think it's like you can follow the logic in a small example like that, but when you start to increase the variables to the degree that we have in MME, DFS, you're talking about correlations, you're talking about ownership, you're talking about all these assumptions with player ranges, like you said. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start to get lost in the weeds a little bit there, where it's a lot less clear. I mean, it's probably solvable. I did have that on my notes here. It's like, is everything modeled? Can you possibly model everything to a degree where the predictability is so high that you are basically just, you know, you're saying, what's up? This is the best we could possibly do. And that's really what we're talking about.
I mean, we're kind of bouncing around. So I think the cash game is kind of good for like the simpler discussion, but just to go with that too, that makes me think that the variance inherent in it is kind of makes it also possible to do a balanced GTO strategy, because right, you're just assuming there's a variance inherent in it, because if there wasn't, you wouldn't need anything. You just click and enter, yeah, right? So knowing that your opponents have the same issue you do, I think maybe you can come to a GPP GTO balance strategy. But with cash games, I think it's pretty simple though, because like I said, most of those, it doesn't even matter that we don't know for sure, because we're all guessing at these numbers. But we do know like seven or eight of the players who are definitely going to be in these lineups. And it comes down to a 1v1, 2v2, something like that. And by the way, the GTO strategy might tell you, like if you have aces or the nuts, call every time, I'll go all in every time, whatever the spot is, that on some slates, the nuts is the nuts and you just play it. It doesn't matter. You 100% of the time, you play this clearly obvious cash game lineup.
Yeah, that's like Levitan's thing. Like, prove it to me that you can beat me.
But when those slates where it's not, you could, okay, if you know your opponent's going to play the awesome optimal every single time, yeah, you use your exploitive play, unless you feel like he's going to adjust and you want to protect yourself. Then you go game. Then you go back to your game theory mix strategy. So you would do, you know, on there, you'd probably do mostly whatever lineup performs best against the awesome lineup, with maybe a 5% roll. And then you literally roll like you're playing heads up like Doug Polk. You roll, and every week, you could do it every lineup if you're playing heads to head, or you could do it every week. it doesn't really matter, because if you play DFS long enough, it should all work itself out. But like, so if you just do it every week, it's like, okay, I rolled the running back who also catches a few balls. And then next week you rolled the wide receiver. And then the week after that, it's just the stone cold nuts because four running backs were hurt and their salaries are that mispriced and there's nothing you can do. And so like, extrapolating that out to GPPs is really, really fucking hard. And that was my tweet, I think. It's like, no one's doing this, right? Except maybe Nerdy. That's it. But I mean, okay, maybe somebody else who just hasn't, gone on a show or tweeted or whatever. But no one's doing this. And everyone's like, do you play exploitive or balanced? Like, I play balanced, I think. It's like, no, you don't. You don't fucking know what that is. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it's true. Like,
for as long as DFS has been around, I'm actually surprised. Like when I talk to pros or guys that I'm like, I see on the leaderboards all the time at like live finals, I'm always like, I kind of probe them in the process a little bit. And I'm always like, oh, you're just running it through an optimizer still. Like, it's like, I always like assume like, oh, they're doing some crazy simulation model, machine learning. Like, and then I start talking to people. I'm like, oh, wait, they're just running top 50 Osmo. And then like handpicking, like making some adjustments here and there. I'm like, we still have a long way to go for edge for a lot of these for the field.
So what would be the DFS equivalent when people say in poker, hey, I'm balancing my range as far as mixing in,
that's what I just gave, I think.
But it's only from a player selection standpoint. That's really the only way.
No, I mean, because it's still lineup. I just gave the simplest example. Like,
yeah,
it could be multiple lineups, and then there's one lineup. Let's just say there's 10 lineups. There's one of those 10 that it doesn't matter what you do against it would be the lineup that performs well over time.
And I think I'll try to do like the more GPP like angle. Like a lot of times this problem happens on my side. It's like you're trying to you're running a thing. You run it through the model. You see like if you make these small tweaks in ownership or assumptions here and there, player ranges, you'll see the model spit out different results. You're like, well, what assumption do I want to go with, right? Like if you say, well, if I think this guy's going to be low owned, then I got to YOLO the guy that's not him, right? Or if like I think this guy has a way bigger outcome range, kind of like your example with the fastest horse, like you want to play that guy more often, right? But you also want to protect yourself from the times when you're wrong and what the field is doing. So that's really where you want to start that whole question is your assumptions need to be balanced, I guess, in a way where you're not over assuming one very specific outcome in terms of what the field is doing or what the actual players are doing.
That's what it looks like in practice would be. I can't remember the Pat Mahomes example would be like, okay, if I knew Pat Mahomes was owned at 1% and he's a really good play, I play him 100%.
100%. Yeah.
Right. But a GTO balance strategy would look more like you're going to play Pat Mahomes 35% come hell or high water because that's the perfect optimal rate, assuming your opponents also played at the perfect level.
Frequency, right, which is probably – that's a poor assumption for sure. But,
now we're getting into an exploitive versus GTO argument, which I don't want to make. Like, I play exploitive for almost the most part. I'm just saying, in theory, talking high-level DFS strategy – I do think it's possible. I think the argument you're making is very good. Is like we are guessing a lot here. Alex called me out on this on one of his shows because I was calling these guys who use the Osmo Top 50 and then tweak shit. It's like, you're just fucking guessing. You have no basis for that. And he's like, yeah, well, we're guessing too. That's true. We are guessing, but we're guessing like a weatherman, we're guessing from a scientific basis. We're not like walking outside and like, oh, my bones are aching. I'm going to take fucking Pat Mahomes. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference in the guessing.
What about right. And like, I hear you go through your process real basic sometimes, like, and you say things like, well, I just kind of run my thing and then I just go with it. Right. I've been there. I don't know how often you take it like a next step. You're like, well, this guy's, let's say in football, like, some kind of chalky guy, like let's say Patrick Mahomes, it's like, wow, he's in 60% of my lineups. Like, am I sure I have his ownership right? Or am I sure, cause it's like for him to be that big of a play and he's a field guy, that doesn't add up. So you have to sort of go back, change something about, cause it's like, in your head, my gut says there's no way you should be playing like one of the most popular players, like as my biggest play. You should be looking more like your model should understand that that can't be good. So you got to go back and change some data set. So that basically my entire day is spent, well, like when I'm actually working on DFS, I'm going into that on that angle, looking at the ownerships and ranges and things like saying, what's wrong here? Why is this popular guy popping so much? And yeah. And it sounds like you and Osimo kind of have a similar, like, I feel like Osimo just runs this thing and walks away. Like he doesn't care. He's just like, whatever. It just doesn't seem like he's got a lot of second guessing in his process.
I wouldn't know. I don't know. I've never seen his process, but mine. Yeah, I don't second guess a ton. Not like day of. When I'll second guess is because something can break, and I'll be like, "Oh shit, that cannot be right," and then I have to go in and redo everything and reset R. So like that can happen, or I'll be like, after a few slates, I'm like, "This isn't right. I'm leaving too much salary on the table." And then I'll go and then tweak things for the next slate, but not like I'll concentrate on that guy. In golf, I kind of do with injuries because injuries to me is just like, and I wish I didn't follow my own rule of thumb last week. If a guy's kind of hurt, just don't fucking play him in golf. Like it's just not worth it. There's not enough people who are going to fade him to get, which is always that little rationalization we give ourselves is like, oh, I could leave him in because everyone's going to fade him and then I get an ownership edge, right? Yep. That's almost like my bones are aching strategy. So like in golf, I'll do it a little bit more. here's another thing too is combinations. So like in showdowns in MMA, there's a lot less combinations and you could do kind of some more balanced GTO work. And this is my opinion. Than in these sports with full field, full size sports, it just got tons and tons of combinations. Lots of them are completely worthless, and you don't need a computer, right? Or you just need half a brain to figure out that six NBA players projected to play 2 minutes is not going to be a lineup that you should put in your sim. I think that's where. I still think about it a lot. I'm not sure if it's like the long-term solution. Like the mastering exploitive DFS play is probably your best option, and just hope DFS does not like completely take all the marketing money away, and you just get enough donks for the next 10 years. That
I gotta buy that strategy. It's just there's so much like. Like there's still the field is very weak in terms of knowing what they're doing. Like you said, they're kind of guessing. Like, I just don't know how you sustain an ecosystem where it becomes much more GTO bot. Like if everyone's way more, like obviously the field's way better than they were like 3 years ago, but there's a lot of exploits still like that are available. And I just feel like if that edge ever goes away, that's kind of why I quit poker. It was like, oh man, everyone's just doing solvers and like, shit that, they're all trying to like, they don't care anymore. There's no human element. It's all that. And it's like, it's not fun. And it's also like, I like thinking on that level, like where, like some pitch, like when in baseball, if a pitcher's gone off twice in a row and he's got a big projection this week and he's my top play, I'm like, well, there's no way his ownership is right. There's no way the field is going to miss this guy. Right. So they'll just bop his ownership up 3 or 4 or whatever. And then they'll take it down from another guy and it's boom. Now he becomes my top play, and it's like, I just like that angle to it. I just enjoy that. And I just don't understand how DFS could survive without that exploded play.
And I think
assuming that enough people switch to GTO solvers too, because it is kind of fun thinking about it and doing it yourself and coming up with your own strategies for this type of thing. And, it's just a different subjective funness there. Sorry, Pete, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, you're actually tagging kind of the point I was going to make that I think is unique to like DFS and how people play fantasy sports, where they like to feel like they're their own GM and they might go to a tout site to get projections and advice just to like pat you on the back, being like, you're doing the right thing, but you're like actually the one making the decisions here. It's like, you're just providing them with the tools, but people love having ownership over that. And I know like, even for me, playing NFL DFS, like I love that out leveling thinking where we're talking on a Sunday in these super small field GPPs. It's like, well, this guy got steamed earlier in the week, so now no one wants to play him. So now is everyone off of him and maybe he's a good play? Like that's what makes that super fun. So I wonder if like that element is just so embedded into the way people play fantasy sports that it will kind of never go away.
I don't think
we missed any bullet points.
Yeah, any final hot takes here?
Not really. I mean, I could go on and on about that type of stuff. It's the stuff that kind of consumes my mind daily. Yeah, I think just going back to like, I think we just need to get some more fucking some slanderous battles on Twitter.
Well, what do you got? Which one?
I got nothing. Like. I can't. I mean, I'm trying to live a positive lifestyle these days.
You need someone else to slip into the toxicity is what you're saying.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you guys do it and I'll cheer you guys on. But no, I think we're just at a healthy, like, remember when Empire Maker was, I don't know what he was up to, but he was going at people, like he was calling out people and Osibo challenging them. And like, that was pretty high level. Like, we need to get some more. I love scandals and I love controversy. And let's someone just start a fight and let me watch it.
Somebody needs to just slip EM2 some of that spicy white powder and come back in business, baby.
That's right.
But Ricky told me some stories, by the way, at live finals that are not suitable for work.
Wow.
They were interesting.
Brian, before we wrap up here, I did pull this up earlier. Is this the Chase Hooper merch you bought?
I bought that hat, and then I bought.
Is this going against your team, your jersey?
The Dream Hooper. It's just the first spot I've ever seen.
Wow!
What hat or what a shirt?
And I got that. I think I got that blue shirt that dude's wearing, but I got it in black.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brian. This is your hypocritical touting moment.
It's not a team, bro.
Yeah.
No, one of the rules is family members is allowed. Family members, or if it's your girlfriend or boyfriend, that's allowable. And I'm sure Chase Superman would have to be related somewhere down the line.
No, this is all about you just refusing to believe that a woman could beat him. And this is how you're, making that
after that last fight, even John Kelly capitulated. So we should try to get him on the podcast. I just want to ask him that question. Yeah. Who would win in a fight, you or Amanda Nunes?
The age-old question. Ricky, I know you're not one for plugs here, although lots of people have been asking about your mustache, your haircut. Do you have any grooming tips for the people on our way out?
Yeah, the mustache is a pain in the ass. I wouldn't tout that. It's like you get milk on it, like literally. You get, beer, any sort of food. It's just a pain in the ass. So, but I got to keep the vibe going. I'm trying to have fun with my life. So this is part of it. I have to become a character, kind of like live it.
There you go. I love the vibes. I love the look. Brian, anything else going on with you here?
Try to live, a GTO balanced life. I would get outside, get on a bike.
Hey, you told me when we went to dinner that one day you hadn't been out for like 2 years.
I went on his first vacation to Florida last year.
Oh, nice.
I don't think I went to dinner with someone for like, how long. I mean, there was COVID in Chicago.
But I need to talk.
It's 2020. That, guys, it's 2022. COVID is over. Summer is here. Go look at some fucking, go to the bar. Nice, cute waitress. Find a patio. Come on, guys.
He's talking to you, Brian.
I love doing that stuff.
Yeah.
We got PGA tomorrow. My ownership's up. I'm done. Put my lineups in. There is some weather concerns again. So make sure you watch Run Pierre's show. I'm sure they'll talk about it.
What else we got?
We got podcasts. If you haven't listened to sub to our pod, please sub.
Yeah. Ricky's Twitter is in the show notes. Give him a follow. Help his engagement farming numbers. We will be back next week for Lulz, for Ricky, for Brian. Have a good week. Go out. Have a nice dinner. Patio. Yeah. Nice waitress. Sounds lovely.
Touch some grass, boys.
bite there.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.